Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal. The world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice, and I just want to thank everyone, wherever you may be listening from this evening. Thank you again for listening to Paranormal Horizons. My co-host Jason Ophir should be calling in any moment. We have a wonderful guest this evening, David Childers. He's from Mississippi. Yeah, we're here in Oregon broadcasting, and we get to talk to someone all the way in Mississippi, so we're looking forward to that this evening here on Paranormal Horizons. And just to remind everyone, you can always download this show from Blog Talk Radio to listen to it anytime, and the show is rebroadcast on KITCFM.com. And that's also an FM station. They play the show at 10 o'clock p.m. on Saturday nights. That's Pacific time. And we're really thankful and privileged to be part of that station. All right. Well, just waiting for Jason to call in on the show here. And to chat with me until I get David on the line here. And he usually calls in a few minutes after the show starts, so I'll just wait for him to do that. Today is election day. Oh my gosh, and there's so much energy out there about the elections. Of course, if you're listening on Saturday, the results will already have been out there. And we'll, wherever you may be, I hope you voted. That's the most important thing. And then we will certainly get into the results of that later this evening. So I am going to go ahead and I think I'm going to play a commercial while I'm waiting for Jason to call in. I'm going to give him a quick call just to see what's going on. He may. Oh, Jason, there you are.
I had to use the telephone. The Blog Talk wasn't liking me.
Oh. So were you trying to Skype in?
Yeah, there no Skype button showed up. So I'm going to have to roll with it old school.
Okay. Well, I was, you came in at the perfect time because I was kind of bumbling along there, not sure what to talk about. I know we've got a couple things we wanted to chat about before we get David Childers here to join the conversation. What's going on, Jason?
Well, normally I do a news story just to kind of keep the listeners abreast of what's going on in the paranormal world, but I racked my brain cells and I came up with a new segment for the show tonight.
Okay, what is it?
So, there's actually an intro for it, so let me play it.
Okay.
There are some subjects within the paranormal that cause heated debates and controversy. We will now talk about one of those subjects. Welcome to the world of paranormal controversy.
Paranormal controversy, Pat.
Yeah. I like the topic, Jason. And
yes.
I think we could probably find a lot to talk about in paranormal controversy. Do you have a particular subject to talk about tonight, or just something we're going to add in the future?
I do have a subject. And
okay.
Now, this controversy, I'm not talking about causing drama with people or anybody in the paranormal. But one of the things that causes great debate is orbs. You know, orbs are these things that paranormal investigators or homeowners with their cameras, you know, they take a picture usually with a digital camera or a video camera, and they see these things flying around. They look like floating dust or dots and stuff like that. And you have these two camps. You have one camp that, you know, you'll have somebody that'll take a picture of their living room, and there'll be thousands of these in the air, and suddenly their home is infested with thousands of spirits. Then you have the other camp that says that it's just dust or some sort of anomaly. Now, me personally, I've encountered just about every kind of orb you can imagine, on video and on camera. And my own personal opinion of it is it's not spirits. I'll probably get slammed for that, but I do not believe in the orbs, and I've seen just about every kind you can imagine. So
okay.
That's just my own personal opinion. I may not be right on that. I could be totally wrong. So but that's just the way I think of it. But you get these people that argue back and forth about it, you know, and it's kind of fascinating. So what's your take on it?
Well, I've never really seen an orb, but as you pointed out, they come up a lot in conversation. We've talked to a lot of people. They talk about seeing orbs. I never really thought about what they really were. I've been told they were spirits. I've been told they were auras as well. So you're saying, Jason, you've seen orbs, but what do you think they are?
In my experience, I've seen ones that made me wonder, you know, wow, that was awful weird. You know, maybe it's got a weird luminescence to it or flies around weird, and I've kind of questioned it. But in my experience, I tend to believe that it's more related to dust. There's always dust in the air, and when you have these security cameras with the IR light, it illuminates it. Less commonly what I see in video is insects that we don't normally perceive flying from the lens. So you get this weird shaped kind of thing that flies by. And so I see insects every once in a while, but I'm not a believer. But there are people out there that totally believe it. And I've seen people out there that take these close-up pictures. They blow up these pictures of orbs, and then they find faces in the orbs and they attributed it to some famous person, and I'm sorry, but it's a bit of a stretch for me. So sadly to say, anytime I've done a paranormal investigation, I totally just don't pay very much attention at all to orbs when I see them. But that's just me, and like I said, I could be totally wrong.
Well, and I also thought that an orb, because I've seen orbs in pictures too, like you're explaining, that it was just a play of light somehow. You know, something was going on with the light, or it was a reflection or something like that, too.
And you notice that all the people that post pictures of orbs, it's always on a digital camera. I've yet to see someone that's using, you know, an actual film camera. I'm sure they're out there. I just personally haven't seen. So
what's
I just
a film
wanted to
camera?
Let everybody know. I just wanted everybody to know that everybody in the paranormal is aware that it's such a hot topic. And that's just my opinion on it.
Well, I think that was a great first paranormal controversy subject, and David might even have an opinion about the orbs as well. And I want to go ahead and tell everyone out there a little bit about David Childers, Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute. He is the founder of this group. He's been involved in the paranormal. So sometimes I have trouble saying that word, Jason. I don't know why. or a ghost in the room. But he's been involved in a lot of television and all kinds of investigations and has been doing this for a very long time. So I'm excited about talking with him. And again, he is in Mississippi. And without further ado, I would like to go ahead and bring him into the conversation, Jason.
Awesome. Let's ask him about the orbs. Let's see what his take on it is.
Hey, David, how you doing this evening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, hey. Good. We're talking about orbs.
Oh.
sounds like he probably agrees with me.
Yes, orbs are the devil. No, Yeah, I'm not real big fan on orbs. Now, you know, if you see it with your eyes, you know, a light anomaly, that's something to look at. You know, it could be a ball of energy. But, I mean, most of the time these pictures that are taken out there it's just elements of nature. It's dust, pollen, you know, lint, just mist, you know, from rain particles or whatever, you know, it's just elements of nature. Basically, whenever you take, especially with digital cameras, you take a photo and the flash, as soon as the flash goes off, it reflects off that particle and makes it visible to the camera.
Now we've got a scientific explanation. Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been my experience, too, I totally agree. I'm an unbeliever, and I know that the IR light flashes and hits it. And then you have these things that are called rods, too. Have you ever heard of that, Pat?
It's the same thing.
Same kind
Is
of deal.
It?
Insects.
Yeah.
Well, it's the frame rate of the camera, and it kind of elongates these insects, and you get these really weird shapes. And actually, somebody sent me one recently. They're kind of cool to see, but unfortunately, I believe that they're insects.
Yeah, with the rod deal, I mean, a lot of times it's slow shutter speed. I mean, you just got to get on your camera and mess around with your shutter speed.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So David, tell us how you got into the paranormal. How long have you actually been doing this? I said you'd been doing it for a long time, but tell us how long you've been doing investigations and interested in the paranormal.
Well, I mean, ever since I started, whenever basically I was 13, I was interested in the paranormal because I actually saw a full-bodied apparition where I used to live at, where I grew up at. We actually lived on a Civil War battleground here in Vicksburg, you know, part of the big Civil War here. But I actually didn't start a team until like 11 years ago. I've been doing it for 11 years now.
Okay.
Me and one of my friends, we were watching an internet television show, which we were interested in. We're like, let's go ahead and see what this ghost hunting kick is about. We went out to a local cemetery, probably about 7-8 miles away. Went down there with a thermal imaging camera, just a regular camera, digital, and a voice recorder. We were down there for about 3 hours, you know, just asking multiple questions. And I asked the question, did you die in anguish? And about 10, 15 seconds later, a female voice came over the, you know, voice recorder saying no. And keep in mind, it was 3 guys out there. No females were out there. And, you know, I didn't discover this find until we got back and I went over the audio, which it just went from there. Started our group, Ghost Hunters of Stream. And eventually, you know, everybody fell apart from that. I mean, it was just a weekend warrior type deal. Then I created Truth Seekers Paranormal Research and Investigations. And that lasted for a couple of years. And then we ended up merging with Sparrows Paranormal. And that's whenever Delta Paranormal Project was created.
I see.
And yeah, we've done a lot over the years with Delta Paranormal Project, and here recently we all decided, hey, look, let's go ahead and, you know, just branch out and do our own little thing. And that's what we did, and that's whenever Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute was created. Actually, the name was created by Gene Hamill with our producer, with twistofcarnival.com and eventscreamer.com. And
I see.
That's where NPR started.
Yeah, now I would imagine in Mississippi, too, because it is an older state, and there's a lot that happened, especially with the Civil War, that there's probably a lot of interesting investigations to do there. I would assume that, David. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This whole here in Vicksburg, this whole town's haunted.
Is
I mean, with
no
all
shortage
the trauma.
Of investigation.
Yep. I mean, with all the trauma that happened here, man, and just the mixed emotions with negativity, and I mean, it was horrible back then during the Civil War.
Yeah,
and
before we continue to talk about that, David and Jason, I wanted to give a shout out. Kelly Jo Monahan is in the chat room. She is a friend of Paranormal Horizons, has been on the show a couple of times. She's a wonderful psychic. And David, she just wrote in the chat. I don't know if you're in the chat that you're very psychic. Are you psychic?
I do have abilities, which, you know, I just really don't like to talk about, you know, because
yeah.
It's just something I like.
That's understandable, but I just wanted to mention that because she had said it.
Yeah.
And but anyway, let's get back to you actually live in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I know earlier today when you and I were chatting, you told me that was the site of And this is historic. It was a Civil War. There's a big battleground there that had a pretty famous battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what can you tell us a little bit about that, David? What's the history exactly of that battle?
Oh, I mean, it was the big Battle of Vicksburg.
I need a history lesson.
Oh man, I know some of it, but I don't know a lot. But basically, I mean, this is supposed to where the Civil War ended. I think it was Grant and Pemberton, I believe, that they actually sit here and shook hands here and ended the war. I don't know. I think it was the Battle of Vicksburg. I don't know if it completely ended the war. But, you know, I'm not really a big historic buff. I, you know, of course I read it and then I forget about it sometimes. Only whenever I go on investigations, whenever I beef myself up for it, you know. But
yeah, but we definitely know, I mean, any war, any battle is just horrific because we know that there's lots of death. And as Kelly Jo is saying in the chat room, you know, lots of blood spilled and just horrendous. And I can only imagine some of the residual of being around that, like you said, the whole town is haunted, David. I would think that could easily be true because so much, like I said, death and not happy death. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, they used to use these in-bedroom homes here in Vicksburg for hospitals. All right. The only hospital they had here, which was a different name back then, it was King State Hospital. It was built pre-Civil War, and they didn't have any room there. They had different places, different, you know, houses to go to, like Duff Green Mansion, Cedar Grove Mansion, and I mean they would have bodies stacked up high in the morgue, and with even body parts, you know, and then they just toss them out into a window into a mass grave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you done an investigation, like in one of those types of houses that you're talking about that had to become a hospital, if you could even call it a hospital.
Absolutely. Investigated Duff Green Mansion a couple of times. We've got some pretty good evidence from there. You know, I saw shadow people there. I have some EVPs.
And that's strange sounds. That's Duff, like D-U-F-F, David?
Yes, Duff Green Mansion.
Mansion. Okay, I just want to put that out there in case any of the listeners want to, you know, look it up online. And just to remind everyone, you're listening to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice, Jason Ophir, and our very special guest this evening, David Childers. Am I saying that right, Childers?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
You're not.
And I know I asked you about that earlier, but I just wanted to make sure I was saying it correctly. So anyway, so go on. Duff Green Mansion there in Vicksburg, back in the day, the Civil War, probably not by choice, had to be used as a hospital. And you and your team went there and did an investigation and saw. Now, what is a shadow person, in your opinion, David? Is that just like a ghost or spirit?
Well, really just my opinion, you know, my outtake on a shadow person. It's a level of manifestation, okay? And I really do think that, there's a lot of theories about it. But I think that a shadow person is actually a stronger level of manifestation. The only reason I say that is because we were filming about a year ago, and we were actually on a battleground, and there were Union sharpshooter lines, like probably about, 60, 70 yards away from us. And we had a monitor set up, and we had the camera hooked to the monitor, and it was rolling. It wasn't recording, but you can actually see everything on the monitor. And we had some big lights pointed toward the wood line, and I walked outside. Everybody else was inside, and I walked outside, and I was just looking at the monitor. And next thing you know, this black mass, which it looked like a side profile view, just popped up on the screen. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. I'm looking on the side of the camera where the lights are. There's nothing there, but it's on the monitor. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And whenever I went to go turn to go run in and get somebody, it jetted off, and it went up the trail. Like I said, I didn't see it. I'm just looking at the monitor, and it went up the trail and left a trail like a grayish behind it, and it went it disappeared. Ran inside. I got Rob Hood. He was one of the cameramen. Got him to come out there, and I was explaining to him what happened. And I looked at the corner of the monitor, and I said, "Dude, what is that?" And he looked at it too, and it was like a little gray ball. And whenever I pointed at it, it jetted off and went. It followed the same direction that the black mass did, and he saw it too. Thank goodness he saw it too. I had a witness to it. I wasn't going crazy. So, you know, really, I think it's just a level of manifestation, you know. I don't think it's really weak at all, because, I mean, you get more reports of shadow people, not out of your corner of your eye, peripheral vision, but people actually see them straight on, you know. You get that more than you see in the full-bodied apparition and the white mist and all that stuff.
You hear, like, I've heard before that a lot of people tend to associate shadow figures with darker negative energies or demons. Would you say that's an accurate assessment?
No.
That it tends to be more of a negative, or it's just a like you said, a level of manifestation, just a different level of manifestation?
My opinion, I don't think it's anything demonic or negative. But a lot of people look at it like that because, you know, it's black. You know, they're like, oh, man, it's black, it's got eyes, it's this and that. No. I mean, my opinion, it's a stronger level of manifestation. And, I mean, it's more energy. And some people think that it's a dead energy that's been wandering around for years type thing, and that's why it's black. It's done lost its energy. I was like, you know, but I don't believe in that either. I think it's a very strong energy.
Have you ever thought, since I mentioned dark spirits, you know, oftentimes the listeners and myself and Pat like to hear about, you know, any scary experiences that you've had. Have you run into any really negative spirits or something that would be perceived as a demon?
Well, I wouldn't say demon. I would say yes. Well, I have ran in, excuse me, I have ran into a negative spirit one time. Well, it's been a couple of times, but this one right here outshines all of them. We were investigating the Susie B. Law House in Greenville, Mississippi. It's the same place. It's basically the same house that they filmed Dark House, that Victor Salva filmed with Tobin Bell in it not too long ago. And we investigated that house. And me and one of the investigators went upstairs to the second floor. And we decided to go to this one room that none of us have investigated before, because it's hard to get to because the floor is sort of rotted out from, you know, all the water and all that stuff. We jumped over the hole, got in there. And as soon as we walked in there, it was just it was just horrible feeling, man. It was like a weight came on, you know, got on my chest. I looked at her, she looked at me, and I asked her, I was like, do you feel that? She's like, yeah, I feel that. That's horrible. It's sadness. And so anyway.
Interesting.
We felt it at the same time. It was crazy. We went in there, and I started to ask questions, but I couldn't even ask questions. I started tears coming down my eyes, down my cheeks, and she grabbed me, and she was like, we got to get out of here. I mean, she couldn't see the emotions on my face. You know, she was feeling the same thing. It was like when in doubt, get the hell out type thing. And we got out down there. Yeah, we went downstairs, and we basically threshold was, and as soon as you walk through the door, you have these two opening glass doors. All right, and they're facing to the stairway that goes upstairs. Well, the glass doors were open, and she was standing to the left of me, and I was on the right of the staircase. And I started provoking a little bit to see exactly what was in there. I mean, nobody lives in this house, so yeah, I'm going to provoke a little bit. They're about to tear it down anyway. Well, I started provoking a little bit, and next thing you know, we heard a loud growl. It came from upstairs. I mean, it was loud.
Like a dog growl or something.
Well, it was like a dog. I mean, it was a little bit light. It wasn't like a deep growl. It was a growl. You could tell it was like a human growling. And as soon as that happened, I looked at her, and that the door, the glass door behind her, slammed up against the wall. She did not touch it. She was about 4 foot away from that door, and it slammed up against the wall by herself. And I looked at her. I was like, "We got to go," and we left out of that house.
Hmm.
So that was definitely a negative spirit.
Yeah.
I know what that feeling feels like. I felt that before. You walk into a place, and it's like, "Do I really have to go in there?" It's odd. It's like a oppressive, just really really uncomfortable feeling. It's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, it's very, it's depressing. It really is.
Well, and it's kind of like you were describing, David. It seemed like it was overwhelming. Like it was this overwhelming feeling, and you know, all of a sudden you were like you said, you know, tears coming to your eyes. I mean, just, you know, for no reason. I mean, that's got to be something to me. And I know I've had experiences like that too. I don't really do investigations, but just in my life where, I mean, you know, different places I've been, especially when I did some traveling in Europe, and I went to several castles. And I remember one time being in a castle, just walking around and just feeling like this overwhelming, like you just described. And I was with my sister, and we didn't stay in that castle very long. You know, even though it was interesting, and at that time I didn't relate it to anything like a spirit. I didn't know what it was, but yeah, very very interesting. And so David, what we want to do is take a little break. We've got a commercial we want to play really quick, and we want you to stay on the line because we want to talk with you more. And also, Kelly Jo Monahan is in the call queue. And David, if it's okay with you, I'd like to bring her into the conversation for a little bit after the break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, Jason, what do you have lined up for us this evening for a commercial? You're the commercial guy.
The power, it's intoxicating. I think we're going to give a shout out to Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
All right.
You are about to enter into the world of Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
It are being red. Holy water. Now.
Oh, no. This ball just moved.
It's moving again.
Oh. Is your house haunted? Are you experiencing strange things such as moving objects, strange sounds, footsteps? Then you should contact Dayton, Ohio Supernatural Paranormal Investigations.
Get in here now.
You guys hear a little girl? I swear I just heard a little girl.
You can locate DOS on Facebook at facebook.com/ Dayton, Ohio Supernatural DOS.
Would you be mad if I sprinkled some holy water down here?
Oh, that's freaky.
What?
Cleansing.
The paranormal world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. If you're experiencing strange things in your home or business, why don't you give Dayton, Ohio Supernatural a call and see if you can get some answers.
Dayton, Ohio Supernatural, friends of Paranormal Horizons. I tell you, that commercial scares me, Jason.
Anytime you get pushed down the steps or, yeah, creepy EVPs, that's always a wake-up call.
Yeah, and you know, those are real clips from Dayton, Ohio, and that's something that we like to offer, you know, folks that have been on our show. We will do a commercial for you at no charge and play it on the show. So be sure to contact us via our Facebook message, and we'll get back with you as soon as we can. Welcome back, everyone, here on Blog Talk Radio, also KITCFM 106.5, and also KITCFM.com. David Childers, our great guest this evening, Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute, graciously giving us some of his time this evening. So, David, we wanted to say hi real quick to our friend Kelly Jo Monahan, who is a psychic out of Florida. Have you ever talked with Kelly before, David?
No, I don't believe I have.
All right. Well, she might have some interesting messages, so let's just say hi to her real quick, and then we'll get back to some more of your experiences doing investigations. Kelly Jo Monahan, how are you this evening?
I'm good.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, David. Pleased to meet you.
It was nice to meet you, too.
I didn't mean to let your secret out.
It's cool. Not a big deal at all.
I apologize.
Well, I think we handled it well, and we're not going to dwell on it. So what's going on, Kelly Jo?
Oh, I wanted to tune in and hear about what he does, and he intrigues me. And I loved his energy when I saw his photograph. And I wanted to call in and say hi and see what kind of experiences he had.
Well, very good. Well, let's just keep chatting then. And so, David, you talked about that last experience about, you know, having an overwhelming sort of negative feeling on one of the investigations. We also talked about a shadow person, you know, and what kind of energy that might be. Your feeling is that it's a strong level of a manifestation. Jason, did you have any thoughts on what a shadow person was? Had you ever seen anything like that on your investigations?
You know, I don't recall ever seeing a shadow person. There always seems to be things that are these fleeting movements in the corner of your eyes, but I've never captured a shadow person. I've captured what appears to be an entity, but it was more of a white color. And I've seen a full body apparition, but again, that was a really light gray or light color. But no, I've never seen a creepy shadow that would probably give me nightmares for at least a month.
Yeah. Kelly Jo, do you have any opinion on a shadow person?
Well, I believe it, like he says, it's a stronger energy and it can be negative. You know, mm-hmm. It's not evil, but it absorbs all the negativity of the trauma. It's like an intense energy burn into the timeline continuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them all my life, you know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, which is interesting because, David, when you saw that energy on the camera that you all had set up at that investigation, that was at one of the sites, right, where there was a battle. Was that at that famous battleground you talked about in Vicksburg?
Oh, no. Well, it was part of it. It was definitely part of it. It was a Union sharpshooter line was close to it, and Confederate soldiers and slaves were at the bottom in the hole. And the Union was on top of the hill, and basically they just sit here and just picked them off one by one during the battle.
I see. And, my gosh.
Yeah, it was horrible, definitely horrible. Oh, and real quick, you know, I was talking about provoking earlier, you know, about everybody in the chat room provoking. The way I provoke, all I do is raise my voice. I don't sit here and get nasty or go Zach Baggins on them or anything, you know. I just want to make that clear. You know, I just raise my voice. And that's how
right.
I promote.
Yeah. Thank you for, mentioning
and
that,
do you
David.
Find, when you're doing that provoking, do you find that that does elicit more of a response by raising your voice? It does.
Yeah. I mean, even if I raise my voice kindly, you know, type way, and ask kind questions, I still get, I get a better response. You know, I don't know why it does that, but I mean, and that's the way. I guess instead of me sitting here talking in a low tone, like let's say we're talking right now, I guess I don't have that much energy going on. But whenever I raise my voice and my adrenaline starts pumping, I don't know, maybe they can feed off of it. I have no idea.
Right? Isn't it kind of like talking to your kids? No.
Yeah.
When you want them to really do something? No. I don't know.
Listen,
I just thought of that.
If you listen more to somebody that's talking to you or somebody that's yelling at you,
and there you go.
It would make sense.
Yeah. So
I was
David,
also wondering, you know, we talked to a lot of paranormal investigators, and we've talked to a few that felt that they have had entities follow them home. Is that something you've experienced personally, or do you think it's not possible, or it is possible? Or, and how do you resolve that? How do you get rid of that attachment if that's happened?
It's happened to me one time, and I do not want it to happen again, but in this field, it's going to happen, okay? You know, I didn't believe in it at first that, you know, spirits can attach themselves to you. I mean, even if they do, they won't even make themselves known. Or right now, I could have 10 of them attached to me, and I wouldn't know about it, you know. But this one spirit, it was 4 years ago. We went to a cemetery, Freetown Cemetery, And actually, the road, the Freetown Cemetery and Freetown Road was named, it was named that because after the Civil War, basically the Union gave this road to the slaves because they were free. That's why they call it Freetown. But we went to the cemetery and we investigated a little bit and went back to the house. About a week later, my ex-girlfriend, I came home from work. She told me, she was like, I was sitting in the living room and I heard a little girl sit here and yell mama. I'm like, what? you heard a little girl yell mama? Yell right. She's like, no, I did. And I thought it was the kids. I went in there to get on to them, but they were passed out. They were asleep. I was like, okay. I thought she was crazy, which, you know, she was, but, you know.
That's another conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, a couple of weeks after that, her daughter came to me and said that she was in the living room and she heard a female call her name, Olivia, call her name. And she went in there thinking that was her mama, but her mama wasn't in there. Her mom was in the shower. I was like, okay, well, maybe she just heard mom start, you know, talking about this, and she's feeding off of it. Until.
Yeah.
I was in our bedroom one night with my daughter, and we were doing her homework. Everything was off in the house except for the ceiling fan. And we're doing the homework. Next thing you know, we're in the bedroom, in the living room, I hear, Daddy. The little girl say, Daddy. My 7-year-old daughter looks at me and said, Daddy, who was that? And I was like, baby, it's nobody. It was just the TV, even though the TV was off. I walked in there, nothing was in there. A couple of days after that, I was asleep in the bed. You know, I blew it off. I was sleeping in bed, and it felt I was waking up to in between 2-3 o'clock in the morning by something pulling on my toe. And I do not sleep in my feet from up under the covers anymore after that. But something pulling on my toe. I wake up and I look, and in the doorway there is a full-bodied apparition. Black hair, white face, really can't make out anything. It was a little girl. I covered my head up, and I said, first thing I said, oh, hell no, not in my house. You know? It freaked me out. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I had to do something about it because not in my house. It can't happen. You know? And just like in your client's house, you know, you want your house to be safe. You want your house to, you know, feel like home, not, you know, something roaming
Absolutely.
Around and you don't know what it
yeah.
Well, I just tried, I attempted to just do something real easy. I was in the house and basically, you know, during the weekend came around and I got a couple of friends together and I was in the house and I said, look, you can't stay here. I know where you came from. Just follow me back to this place. I'm sorry, but you can't stay in this house with our family. I really apologize. Mm-hmm. And hey, it was a long shot. We go out to the cemetery. We're in the back part of it, and probably about 30 yards away, there's a big pine tree where we leave our equipment at. And it's three of us. It's a Vicksburg police detective that was with us, another person, and me. All right. I got 2K2 meters in my hand. I'm asking questions. Next thing you know, both of them start spiking red, and there is no electricity around. Nobody has cell phones on or anything. And he ends up hearing it was funny because he heard a noise in the woods and he draws his gun. I'm like, dude, really? You think you're going to shoot a ghost?
You can't shoot a ghost.
I know, right? I'm like, oh. Well, then the other team member started yanking on my shirt. I'm looking at the K2 meters and they're spiking. He's yanking on my shirt. She's like, David, look. Oh, my God, look. I look at the tree and it was creepy as hell, just like seeing her at the end of my bed. She was behind that pine tree, and she'd peek her head out and then pull it back in like peekaboo. And she did it three times. The Vicksburg police officer had his camera, and he snapped it the last time and got the top of her head while it was going back in. He still has that photo. And
wow.
I knew I wasn't going crazy. And, you know, and as soon as that after that happened, we saw the photo. We were like, oh, wow. And, I mean, he saw it too. She saw it. I saw it. Three people saw this happen. The first thing I said, hey, guys, you know we got to walk right by that tree to get out of here.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, hell no. But after that event, we never went back to that cemetery, and I never will.
But you did get obviously you got the little girl to leave your home and go back to the cemetery.
Yeah, with something simple as that, you know, something real simple, not going in there with sage and, you know, cleansing and all that stuff. I mean, it was just something real simple. I did.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, just luckily it worked out great.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like she wasn't, I mean, she was just, you know, a spirit that was still here. Doesn't sound like she was, you know, bad or evil or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because we've heard a lot of people, when they're talking about little girls, that demons disguise themselves as little girls. And to me personally, little girls are like the scariest ghosts. Maybe that's because what's depicted on television, you know, like Samara coming out of the TV or crawling on the ceiling. But yeah, girls are creepy.
Ew.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you know, I have a good friend, and he told me this story that he grew up in a house, not as a little kid. He was more of a teenager, and they moved into this house and quickly discovered that it was haunted. And his mother, though, that wasn't, she was kind of a psychic type person, and she believed in that. And he tells me he remembers his mother, hearing his mother yelling down in the kitchen saying, "And you will not bother my children. You can stay here, but you will leave them alone." And later on, he said, "Mom, who were you yelling at?" And he said, she said, "I'm yelling at the old man ghost that lives here." You know, and
oh, wow.
so she was like setting her territory. She didn't like, you know, ask him to leave, but whatever it was that she was picking up on was, you know, maybe it was, you know, the man who had owned the house or built the house years ago, but, you know, she was willing to let him stay there, but she didn't want him scaring the kids. And
right.
then my friend went on to say, yeah, you know, that some funny things would happen, you know, like covers would be messed up unexpectedly on the beds or things like that. But prior to that, to Mom saying, "Hey, you leave the kids alone," there were kind of some unsettling things that happened, like a mirror breaking for no reason, everything being thrown out of the cupboards. And apparently that was taken, you know, his mom later said, "Well, the old man didn't want us here, but I set him straight."
Right, and it sounds like to me now he after that it was just like he might be in a playful mood, just a, you know.
So interesting. Now David, before we've got about 10 minutes left here on the show, and I did want to take a few minutes to talk about some of the upcoming things that you're doing. I noticed that you are going to be, speaking of horror or scary things, you're going to be in a movie. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a horror movie. It's called The Documentary of Osbo. It's about a killer clown that basically
Oh, God, clowns are the worst.
Oh, they're awful.
Clowns and mimes. I hate them.
Yep.
Now don't tell me you're playing the clown.
No. James Hyman actually is the clown. Osbo actually was human at once, and he was basically tortured and trapped in a carnival. And you got to watch the movie. I mean, it's part one and a part two. Part two will be filmed in part two.
Scary. Soon.
But Osbo, yeah, we filmed it about 3 months ago. Here in Vicksburg, Mississippi, actually at Keene State Hospital, the haunted Keene State Hospital. That was actually, you know, I was featured on Destination America Ghost Asylum with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's going to be a pretty good movie. I mean, I've watched bits and pieces of it. And Gene Hamill, I mean, he's awesome. Awesome producer, awesome editor, and so is Rob Hood. And, I mean, they've made this movie, you know, rock. It'll be out October 2015. It'll be on twistedcarnival.com. And also, it'll also be on our website, ghostscouters.com. That's our Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute website. And, I mean, I hope everybody checks it out, man. It's going to rock. I hope everybody checks it out because I had a clown choke me. And so, I mean, it had to be well worth it.
What's the name of the movie again? I'm putting it on Facebook. TwistedCarnival.com.
Yes, it is on Facebook. TwistedCarnival.com. And you can also go to my page, David Childers, and you can see all the photos, everything that we've been doing here, even the haunted house that we did during the weekend for Warren Central Big Blue Vans. You know, we helped out and volunteered. Within, we have Freddy Krueger in there. We have Osbo. So, I mean, it was definitely a great experience.
Woo!
We have a lot of, yeah.
The pictures that you posted on your Facebook were really, really good pictures. And the clowns, that I think it was one clown that I looked at, it's really freaky looking, really well done.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Even though I don't like clowns, I mean, it looked really awesome.
Appreciate it, brother.
now the movie, Kelly Jo, again, is the documentary of Osbo. And I think that's O-Z as in zebra, B-O. Is that right, David?
That's correct.
Osbo.
Yes.
Okay, the documentary of Osbo. All right, yeah, we'll definitely have to catch that. I know, you know, I don't know what it is about clowns, but a couple of years ago, I somehow won on an auction. I didn't expect to, but it was like one of these silent auctions, and my husband had bid on these clowns, like these little figures of clowns, and we won them. And he was so proud. He was like, look, I got you some clowns. And I was like, oh, no. You know?
That's terrible. I think, you know what I think it was for me was when Poltergeist came out and they had that clown in the room at night that was sitting on the chair. I think that's when I started not to like clowns.
Yeah.
And then Stephen King's It.
Oh, yeah. We all float down here.
Yeah.
We actually, you know, and that's funny you say that. I mean, that's awesome because next year at our haunted house here in Vicksburg, Mississippi, we're going to have Stephen King. We're going to have It here. We're going to have Freddy Krueger. We're going to have Michael Myers. We're going to have Pinhead. We're going to have all these characters from horror movies.
Oh,
down
my
here.
Gosh.
Are you going to have the Pumpkinhead?
Ooh, hey. I'm glad you brought that up. That's somebody I would definitely get in touch with. I would try to find somebody that has an awesome. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that idea. I would definitely see if somebody actually has that costume.
Yeah,
I like
that
all
sounds
those
like
horror
a,
movies.
That sounds like a pretty scary haunted house there in Mississippi, although we probably have some pretty scary ones around here too, but I have to stay away from them. I get too freaked out. But so, David, now how can folks get in touch with you? I know you threw out a couple of websites there, but you have a Facebook page for Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute, or or is it? Okay, you do.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Yeah, Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute. It's our Facebook page. It's a closed group, so you have to join it. You can contact me on there, or you can contact me on my personal page, you know, David Childers, C-H-I-L-D-E-R-S, yes.
Yeah, because that's how we had gotten in touch with you, too, so I wasn't exactly sure if you had the other face page as well. So, fantastic. Now, do you do investigations all over Mississippi, or do you just kind of focus on your area in Vicksburg?
Well, no, we do it all over Mississippi. We do it all over Louisiana. You know, the southern states. If we're out of town in, say, in Ohio, which we go to a lot, you know, to visit, you know, some of the paracons up there, such as, you know, the Posttown Elementary, Mid-Ohio, and all that, our good friends Keith Age, Christopher St. Booth, and Daryl Wiseman. I mean, we go up there all the time. But, yeah, I mean, we hit up all the southern states. We'll be filming here soon. At certain locations, we really need some big locations down here. We're going to be filming for a new episode that's going to be on our NPR website with certain cast members from Deep South Paranormal and NOLA Ghost Tours and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we hit up everywhere.
Well, you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Busy person,
I have a passion for it, and, you know, it's something I love doing.
Yeah, you know, and that's what it takes. When you have a passion for something, it makes it a lot easier to do it, for sure. So I just want to remind everyone out there again that you can always download this episode of Paranormal Horizons from Blog Talk Radio. and listen to it anytime. The show will be repeated on KITCFM.com Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening at that time, thanks so much for listening to Paranormal Horizons. Our very special guest this evening, Dave Childers from Mississippi Paranormal Research Institute. Check out his Facebook page. He's got a lot of great stuff going on, including a horror movie, the documentary of Osbo. So for those of you that like horror, this is a movie you don't want to miss. All right. And Kelly Jo Monahan, thanks so much for calling in this evening and chatting with us. Also, a Spook Man
Thank
is in
you.
The chat room and want to say hi to Spook Man out there. He usually joins us and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you too. It was nice to meet all of y'all. It was a great
yeah.
show. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, David, and we'll be in touch with some of the stuff that you've got going on, and I am going to make an effort and watch the movie. I'll have to be with Jason when I do it so he can hold my hand, we can hold each
okay.
other's hands, because we're both, like, really, like, you know, we get scared really easy, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's All right, David, well,
true story.
Yeah, good night, and we will chat with you later, David.
All right, thank y'all. Y'all have a blessed night. All right, yeah, thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. Good night. All right. So, yeah, great show. Kelly, you still on with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Jason got cut off somehow. I don't know if I did it or he accidentally had to hang up, but gosh, you know, I just got to tell you the couple times we've had you on the show and some of my friends who have had the opportunity of getting readings from you, they've just been so touched by what you told them and you really helped them a lot with some of the messages you had for them.
Thank you. And thank
yeah.
you for coming on tonight. It was fun.
Yeah, yeah, always fun to have you on the show. And I've got about 4 minutes left before I sign off. So if you don't mind hanging out with me for another 4 minutes since I
sure.
lost Jason.
Sure.
So what's going on in Florida? What's going on in the psychic world over there? Any sort of universal messages out there that you're picking up on for the listeners?
Well, things are going to get better. The economy is going to start picking up. This year will start looking a lot better for a lot of people. The worm's going to turn. But we're going to have a cold winter.
Ah. Yeah, that doesn't
have
surprise
a lot of
me.
Snow this year.
Ah. Of course, you won't get the snow where you are.
No,
right?
I'm in Florida. But we'll have a cold snap. We'll probably see frost.
Ah, that's...
In Florida. I'm in Florida, so...
Yeah, so that would be unusual for you to get frost.
Right. We have.
Yeah.
It snowed here in 76.
Oh, my gosh.
No, 77.
I'm sure here in Oregon it will... be cold where I am. We typically get rain. It'll freeze, and we don't get a lot of snow. But if it's going to be a harsh winter, we might get more snow than normal. So yeah, everybody out there, get prepared for a cold winter. And Kelly, thank you so much for hanging out with me for a few minutes. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, you have a great holiday season if I don't talk to you.
Too happy
and,
day, everybody. Happy
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, Kelly, we'll talk with you later.
Okay, hon.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, everybody. Again, thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice, Jason Ophir. He's already jumped off the show, probably a technical glitch, but we look forward to talking with you next week. Our very special guest next week is going to be Isola. Isola is a expert in numerology. She She's also a psychic, and she's going to spend about an hour with us next week. And she's also going to actually have a numerology reading prepared for my co-host, Jason Ophir. Now, he has never had a numerology reading, and Isola will tell us what numerology is, the science behind it, and then actually share some of Jason's reading, or it's more than a reading. I mean, it's actually a science of the numbers, and it's based on your birth date and the name on your birth certificate. And all these things are put together into a number system, and it actually predicts the cycles of what you're going to be going through for the rest of your life. And then Isola, also being a psychic, she can share some insights that she picks up on from a psychic perspective. So everybody, we will talk with you next week. Looking forward to another great show on Paranormal Horizons. Everybody have a safe week. Good night.